All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mountain Pass Podcast. This is your host, as always, TJ Martineau, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is March 28th, 2024. I'm not going to lie. I was actually very tempted to do a podcast on something idiotic I saw on Twitter regarding prefrontal cortex or something like that. Basically, the message was women at 19, 18, 20 aren't old enough to get married, but apparently they can take out student loans and join my militaries or vote for who gets to drop nuclear weapons on other people. I mean, that they have the right to do. They're intelligent enough, their brains are fully developed, but no, when it comes to entering into lifelong matrimony, the brains aren't fully developed. I was going to do a podcast on that, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to dignify, at least right now. I'm not saying I haven't done undignified topic podcasts, but I am not going to be giving these people any attention. And I was actually not even going to talk about that. I'm talking about what I'm not going to talk about, which means I'm talking about. So yes, there is a bit of a paradox here. I was actually going to talk about Lauren Bacall's autobiography by myself, and was going to use that as a springboard for talking about how this notion is ridiculous, but also there's this whole concept of a ride or die type gal that, you know, if you're lucky to meet her, don't lose her. But I'm not going to talk about that either. This is going to be a bit of a pop culture geek. It's going to be a bit of a geek discussion. And I don't think anybody has really asked this question before, to my knowledge. Nobody has ever asked this question. I was watching some of the Batman animated series, shows, movies, stuff like that, and was just thinking about the different interpretations of the Batman character. Because for those of you who've watched the Christopher Nolan films, you know that Bruce Wayne, they kind of play it both ways, where there's Bruce Wayne, but also he pretends to be he has an alter ego. But it's like there's two different Bruce Waynes. There's the real Bruce Wayne, there's the alter ego, and then there's Batman. And that wasn't the case in the animated series. It was made very clear that Batman was his true identity, Bruce Wayne was his alter ego. In contrast with Superman, where Clark Kent is who Clark Kent actually is, Superman is just a persona. I mean, there's one episode of the animated series, the Superman animated series, where Clark Kent is talking to his parents. Everybody thought he's died, and the dad goes, "Well, you can just be Superman." And he goes, "I'm not Superman. I'm Clark Kent. I'd go crazy if I had to be Superman all the time." In contrast with that, there's an episode of the Batman Beyond, which is a great animated show, where the villain has planted some sort of device on Bruce's forehead, Bruce Wayne, who's now an old man, and is talking to him and trying to drive him insane. And Bruce Wayne is running around telling people that he's hearing a voice, and it's not fake, and it's real, and it's coming from somewhere. And at the very end of the episode, after they discovered that this, in fact, was going on, somebody asks him, "Well, how'd you know it was, like, what was going on?" And he goes, "Well, one, I know I'm not crazy. And two, the voice kept calling me Bruce. And in my mind, I don't call myself that." Implying, of course, that he calls himself Batman. And the whole concept, so let's go into the difference of between the films, because we're getting to the question here. I'm not going to just throw the question out for you. You're going to have to walk with me. You're going to have to go on this journey. In the in the Christopher Nolan's trilogy, it ends with Bruce Wayne leaving the Batman identity behind, handing it off to young Robin, and going and living a life with Selina Kyle. And we really have no idea other than the fact that he's living with Selina Kyle out in some random part of Europe. But we don't know what he's doing with his life. We don't know anything about it. Just that he's happy. This is what he always wanted. This is a much more optimistic outcome and ending than the animated series. And yet is not, how can I put it? I always felt there was something off about it. Because it's not in keeping with the Batman character. And so in the animated series, if you haven't seen it, The Mask of the Phantasm is the best Batman movie ever made. Hands down, there's been debates. People are like, what about the 1989 version? Or what about the, you know, The Dark Knight? Or what about the Lego Batman movie? No. The Mask of the Phantasm is the greatest Batman film ever made. It is also one of the best animated films ever made. It is one of the best noir films ever made. And I'm going to spoil parts of the movie, but if you haven't seen it, so just whatever. The film, so like in the Dark Knight Rises, Bruce is trying to have a normal life. He wants to get married to this one gal and all this stuff. And what he is unable to deal with is that he feels deep down that he cannot reconcile that type of life with the life that he has chosen since childhood. So this is another difference between the films, the Christopher Nolan films, and the animated series and the animated films that are made from the show. In the movies, Bruce Wayne, played by Christian Bale, doesn't want to be Batman at first. He's just wandering and just lacks direction, and Ra's al Ghul and the League of Shadows give him a sense of direction and then a sense of purpose, where he's going to go back to Gotham, and rather than destroy it like they do, they want to, he's going to save it. I mean, that's one of the big questions of the film that it really doesn't answer, to be frank. But the question is Gotham worth saving, and is it salvageable? And the film avoids answering that question, in my opinion. Because it's not the citizens of Gotham who turn out against Bane, it's the police officers. In contrast, in the animated show, Bruce Wayne pretty much wants to be Batman since he was a kid when his parents were murdered. So he spends his entire up until his 20s, his entire life prior has been spent traveling the world, learning every single thing conceivable that will help him be the world's greatest crime fighter. So that's the context of the movie Mask of the Phantasm, where Batman is wanting to leave that life, but yet that is what defines his life. And there's also some circumstances that happen that are beyond his, or things that happen that are beyond his control that do it. But it's as if fate is saying, you are destined to be Batman for the rest of your life. This is who you are. You can't run away from it. You can't escape it. It's a very fatalistic, it totally different tone from The Dark Knight Rises, where, you know, Bruce very much has free will and choice, whereas in the animated series, Batman is almost destined by fate to be Batman. And what defines Batman as a character is that he has never been able to overcome the trauma of seeing his parents shot in front of him when he was a young boy at age like 8. That is the defining moment of his life. And it is something that, in at least in the animated series, he never recovers from. It is a grief that stays with him his whole life. It's what makes him unable to have relationships with people throughout the animated series, where he's in relationships, but eventually they have to end them. And so by the time you get to the Batman Beyond series, where he has a young apprentice, Terry McGinnis, who's, you know, wearing his costume and now basically being Batman, Bruce pretty much lives alone. Sorry about that. That is the air vent. Hopefully you can still hear me and not the air blasting in here. So he pretty much lives alone and doesn't have any friends and has no family. He's completely isolated in that sense. Now, he's not happy, but he's not bitter, I think is the best way to describe it. He seems very content to be alone. So here's the question. Wasn't going to take too long to answer to get to it, but here's the question. In the film It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey is able to see what life would have been like in Bedford Falls if he had never been born. In my opinion, that film made a fatal flaw. I hate to say it. I'm going to shatter some perceptions, but that isn't the issue with it. This is relevant to what I'm about to say, so just bear with me, people. The film is showing what George Bailey would have been like if he hadn't been born. You know what it doesn't show him? What his life would have been like if he had left Bedford Falls. What would he have accomplished with his life if he had left? It shows what life, how badly people would have been off without him. How much better off would he have been if he had left? It is possible, because this is all fictional, that George Bailey would have actually been miserable, even though he may have accomplished all this stuff that he wanted to do, because it would have isolated him, where he would have never gotten married because he was too ambitious and he would have no family and he'd end up an old man like Bruce Wayne, not happy. But the film, in my opinion, that is what makes the film fail. It shows what happened when George Bailey wasn't born, but what angers him is that he feels like he didn't get to live the life he wanted to because he had to make other people happy. There is an episode of the Batman animated series, which is a great episode, called Dreams to Dream. And it is about Bruce Wayne living the life of Bruce Wayne where his parents are alive. And if you haven't seen the show, by this point, I'm not going to hold back for the sake of you. If you haven't seen it, that's your personal problem. Sufficient therapy and counseling and a bunch of SSRIs, whatever they're called, those antidepressants, that should cure your problem or not. But in reality, it's the Mad Hatter has hooked Bruce Wayne up to a dream machine and he is dreaming. And the dream is his life with his parents still alive. So he's basically some sort of, you know, he's working at his dad's company. His dad is out golfing. He's going to marry Selena Kyle. You know, there's Alfred and somebody else is Batman. Then finally he confronts Batman and discovers it's the Mad Hatter, but it's a part of a dream. And by the way, just to show you how sophisticated this cartoon show was, he figures out it's a dream because he can't read. And dreams use one part of the brain. The other part of the brain is needed for reading. And so he says it's impossible to read something while you're dreaming. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. If it is, I'm just saying this is a kid's cartoon show, and they are talking about what parts of the brain are activated by what activity. Whereas now, if you're watching what they pass out, Timmy talked to Sally and said hi, and that is called social. Like, it's the most autistic stuff you could possibly imagine. It's all literal. So Bruce Wayne, at the end of this episode, dreams to dream. He ends up jumping off of a tower, a bell tower, because he realizes that the only way to wake up is to do something that causes death in his dream. And of course, he wakes up and Mad Hatter goes to prison, and Batman steals a line from the Maltese Falcon by saying, you know, this is the stuff that dreams are made of. The point, the question that I'm going to ask is this. If Bruce Wayne in the animated series, and maybe we could even say in the films, could see what his life would have been like if his parents hadn't died and he had lived a normal life that he was going to live, that a man in his position would live, would he have preferred that? Because on one hand, his parents are alive and he is able to have a relationship with his parents, and he doesn't have to deal with the grief of the trauma of having seen them be shot at the age of 8. And he gets to watch them grow old and all that other kind of stuff. On the other hand, the dream in this episode makes it clear that he is pretty much the caricature that he pretends to be in real life, where he is this carefree, lazy playboy who's living off of his parents' money. And in the animated show, he dates tons of women, but then as soon as it gets serious, he casts them aside. And that persona, he does that because he is never going to marry them, and he has to keep up appearances. Because people will wonder, why isn't this guy, like, what is this guy doing? And he's not going to show him who he truly is. He would have been unironically the caricature that he pretended to be. That is, we are talking about a fictional comic book character from an animated show. We're discussing a hypothetical alternative reality for their fictional lives. But it is a thought experiment. Because I remember watching that episode and I was thinking to myself, you know, this is something that the Batman, Bruce Wayne, never got over. And yet, did it ever occur to him that his life would have been less fulfilling, or he would have been less of a man, or he would have been... his life would have been much more tragic if his parents had lived. Because that death, their murder, spurs him to do all these very incredible things. But without that, what is he going to do? He's probably just going to drive nice sports cars and live off of his parents' inheritance. If he gets married, he might have a kid. He might not have any kids. The episode in question, where he's dreaming, is interesting because this is his subconscious. This is his mind creating the dream for him. And this is what it's showing him. And I think that it's interesting how the animated series never really touched on this, but this idea that it's showing him that his life would have been less, on some level, less desirable than the life that he is living. As isolating and lonely and as heartbreaking as it is, his life would have been otherwise wasted. I mean, you have to admit, you may not agree with my conclusion, but you have to admit, if somebody were to say, why, like, what is the point of this discussion? Because this does not apply to everyone, and it doesn't apply to everything, and it doesn't apply to every circumstance and every single situation that is comparable. But there are many people where they have never moved on from a experience they've had that has defined them, and yet that experience has made them into a greater person than they otherwise would have been. And this can sometimes be used to come up with a rationalization to not justify suffering, but give it value, give it a purpose. The sad reality is there's some people who suffer for no real meaningful reason, and their suffering produces no value. I mean, that's just this is a very difficult thing to come to terms with, but there are that just happens. That's how it is. And it also makes you think about people who always wonder the what if. Like, what if this had happened? Or what if that had been different? There are some people who do not wrestle with the what if. There are some people who are consumed by the what if. And their reasons for doing so and the context of them doing so varies. But this is the danger of the what if. And not a what if where you're asking what if, you know, you're asking in an honest way, where you're asking what if in a lamenting, remorseful, or grief-stricken way, the way Batman did with, you know, him not getting over the fact that his parents had been murdered. Obviously, it was a horrible thing in the fictional world. I don't think we really have to debate that much. This is totally an aside, just a random thought, but we would never have to ask that question about Superman, because he wasn't defined by his parents' death. This is actually very interesting. Both Batman and Superman's parents died when they were young. The difference is Superman, Clark Kent, didn't witness their deaths. He never knew them. And by the time he found out, he had been raised by people that he thought was his parents. So he's not going to sit there and wonder what if, or be defined by that tragedy of, like, basically being completely isolated from his own people, because it's not how he wasn't old enough, and it wasn't part of his life. But I think that what would have, again, within the context of the animated series and the Batman lore and the mythology, if Bruce Wayne's parents hadn't died, he probably would have been a loser. He would have been a pampered, spoiled brat who, you know, had, you know, his parents would have been loving in a certain way, but he would have had a trophy wife. He probably wouldn't have had any kids. And he would have allowed other people to run the company. And just not been responsible. And nobody would have really respected him. And he would have been not living in the shadow of his dad's shadow, but he wouldn't really have been define. He just wouldn't have gotten any respect. He would not have probably liked himself either. And he probably also would have put on a front to people in public the same way he does as Batman. The difference is his true self is not of any admirable quality. I think that would have made a very interesting Batman animated episode, if where, and yet Dreams to Dream does touch on it, but it does so in a very indirect way, where it doesn't, that's not what the point of it is about. It's about, it's about a completely different, it's framed differently. I think it would have been interesting if they did an episode where Bruce Wayne would get to see what his life would be like. And then he's asked, which life do you want? And then that would have defined him as a, and here would have made, again, this is another, it just occurred to me. Imagine if they also had taken a version, you know, like from an alternative reality, a Bruce Wayne that had grown up like that with his parents alive and got to see what his parents would have been, or what his life would have been like if that had changed. I mean, that's getting a little dark, but at the same time, you're starting to really see how much circumstances reveal a person's true personality and character. I mean, a person who never has to get violent or is never put in a situation where they have to be violent, you would think that they're a peaceful person, but then you put them in the right context and they will turn violent. Or somebody who's otherwise not greedy and then their parents die, and there's an inheritance, and they suddenly have to have it all. So if they ever did another animated Batman film, or just a Batman film in general, that would be a, I don't know if it would make a full-length feature animated film, but I think it would be a cool thing to at least maybe put in a comic book, like a graphic novel, where Bruce Wayne gets to see, he's allowed to see what his life would be like. And while there's all these things that are great, he already sees what's missing. You know, he sees what the world would have been like without Batman. Kind of an inverse of how George Bailey got to see what the world had been like, or at least Bedford Falls would have been like without him. He didn't get to see what his life would have been like. If somebody happens to know somebody who writes graphic novels or does, like, it's something to do with Batman, that would be an interesting story. And then where Bruce Wayne, Batman, the one whose parents have died, he's offered a chance to go into an alternative universe where his parents are still alive, and he makes the painful decision to stay where he is. And if you wanted to give him a noble character quality, it would be because he would be saving two lives that are dear to him, but at the cost of so many that he saved through his work as Batman. And it's showing how much he is willing to sacrifice for the sake of a city that he cares about. Okay, that would make a hell of a Batman graphic novel comic book. That is the kind of storytelling you're not going to see. And if just for the record, I have not read any of the Batman comic books or graphic novels or anything like that. I doubt anyone has done a story like that. If they have, kudos to whoever it is, and somebody send me a copy of this book so I can read it, maybe talk about it. But I don't think anybody's written anything like that. I know that they haven't written about it, that now. They're too busy writing about, you know, how he's a pansexual and, you know, he's fighting for the, you know, I don't know. Who knows? I have no idea what they're doing with Batman. I just know it's not good. So. All right. I think that's all I got to say on this topic. That's all I got to say about the war in Vietnam. Thank you for listening. This is this podcast is on my website, so if you found it, you'll find the links to my books. I think I keep repeating this, but I'm just not going to say go to tjmartinell.com, even though I just said go to tjmartinell.com. It's late. I need to finish my drink and attend other duties. So, thank you for listening to the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, signing off.